All right. Let me invite you to take your Bibles, and if you don't happen to have a Bible of your own, there are Bibles underneath the chairs in front of you, and so let me invite you to do that if you don't have a Bible with you this morning, to turn to Mark chapter 4. We are continuing our study through the Gospel of Mark, and if you use one of those blue Bibles that you can find underneath the chairs, you can find where we are on page 838. 838. We're calling this series The Jesus I Never Knew because as we look at this account of Jesus' life and ministry, our prayer is that those who maybe don't know Jesus in a saving way, that they would come to know Him, and that those of us who have trusted in Him would come to know Him in a clearer and in a fuller way as our study continues through the Gospel of Mark. You know, one of the things that's important for us to be aware of is the importance of expectations. Expectations are really, really important. And one of the things that we're going to see this morning is that as a church, we should have certain expectations as it relates to our call, our calling as the people of God, gathered as this particular body of believers called South Canyon Baptist Church. Our calling is to proclaim the gospel. To use the imagery of the story we're going to be looking at this morning in John chapter 4, our calling is to scatter the seed. That is to be sowers. We are to plant the Word of God. We are to tell the good news of Jesus Christ. And as we do that, it's important for us to have the right expectations. And one of the things we're going to see this morning is that our expectations shouldn't be too high in terms of sharing God's Word and the results. Our expectations shouldn't be too high. Because if our expectations are too high, we will be disappointed eventually. Because there will be people that we will seek to bring to Christ, that we will share the message with, that we will pray for, who've not yet trusted in Christ. And many of them will not come to faith in Christ. And we'll see why this morning in this story, in this parable that Jesus shares. But it's also important for us to not only not have too high expectations, but it's important for us to not have too low expectations. Because as we come to one of the four soils that Jesus talks about in this particular parable this morning in Mark chapter 4, we'll see that the harvest is incredibly large. Because in that day, a sevenfold harvest was considered very, very good. But Jesus in this parable talks about the harvest being 30-fold. And beyond that, 60-fold. And beyond that, even 100-fold. And so we need to hold these two realities in tension. As we share the good news of Jesus Christ, and as a church together, as we seek to see more people come to faith in Christ by sharing God's Word as a congregation, there will be frequent failure in terms of it having the result or bringing the result that we desire as we pray and as we share the good news of Jesus Christ. But it's also important for us to realize that because what we share is in fact the very Word of God, and because there's such power in the seed, in the message that we share, there will be significant success. And so it's important for us to remember that. And that's a part, I think, at least, of what Jesus is trying to communicate to us today as we come to Mark chapter 4. So follow along and let me read, beginning in verse 1, you following along. Again, he began to teach beside the sea. And a very large crowd gathered about him, so that he got into a boat and sat in it on the sea. And the whole crowd was beside the sea on the land, and he was teaching them many things in parables. And in his teaching, he said to them, "Listen, a sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seed fell along the path, and the birds came and devoured it. Other seed fell on rocky ground, where it did not have much soil, and immediately it sprang up, since it had no depth of soil. And when the sun rose, it was scorched, and since it had no root, it withered away. Other seed fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no grain. And other seed fell into good soil and produced grain, growing up and increasing and yielding 30-fold and 60-fold and 100-fold. And he said, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." Verse 10, and when he was alone, those around him with the 12 asked him about the parables. And he said to them, "To you has been given the secret of the kingdom of God. But to those outside, everything is in parables, so that they may indeed see, but not perceive, and may indeed hear, but not understand, lest they should turn and be forgiven." Now let's pause there for just a minute before we begin in verse 13, looking at Jesus' explanation of this parable, to talk for just a second about these verses just before his explanation. Jesus says here that parables are intended not only to reveal, and that's certainly a part of the purpose of parables, by using a parable or something that's an analogy to something else, an analogy of something we know to something we don't know, it helps us. It reveals things to us. We're able to see and learn things and get a hold of things that we wouldn't be able to get a hold of apart from the parallel that we see in parables. And so it's obvious that one of the purposes of the parables is to reveal. But Jesus here specifically says there's also another purpose. Another purpose for the parables is to conceal. That is, to conceal the truth, so that people who are on the outside will hear but not perceive. So that people on the outside will see but not perceive. Lest, and this is kind of hard to understand, lest they should turn or repent and be forgiven. In other words, one of the purposes of the parables is judgment on those who to this point have heard, and heard things that were spoken apart from parables, that were very straightforward, that were very clear, but they are on the outside because they have refused. They have refused to believe. They have resisted. And we saw this last Sunday. Men, the scribes particularly, right? At the end of chapter 3, who had resisted the Holy Spirit again and again and again, and finally attribute the work of the Holy Spirit to the work of a demon. And at that point, Jesus begins to talk about the fact that if you commit a sin against the Son of God, you can be forgiven. But if you blaspheme against the Holy Spirit, that is a sin for which a person can never be forgiven. This is spoken to these scribes who either did or almost committed, evidently in this context, the unpardonable sin or the sin that can never be forgiven. And so like these scribes, there were those who were on the outside who refused to believe, who refused to listen, who resisted the Holy Spirit at work in and through the life and words of Jesus. And so now, as an act of judgment, Jesus begins to speak in parables, because evidently they are refusing to repent and find life, which is found only through Jesus. And so at the end of this quote, at the end of verse 12, it's almost like sarcasm. Wouldn't it be awful for them to repent and to live? But they've made their choice. They have refused to do so. And so these parables are to reveal, yes, but they're also to conceal. And as we make our way through Mark, we'll come across several more of these stories, these parables that Jesus shares that help us understand more about who he was. But notice particularly beginning in verse 13, his explanation of this parable. His explanation of this parable. And what we're going to see as we look at these verses, verses 13 through 20, is that there are four kinds of soils. four kinds of soils that represent four different kinds of hearers. This morning, you are hearing God's word spoken and taught. And in this room, it is likely that there are four, at least four kinds of hearers. And that's what's being presented or taught by Jesus through this parable. So let's look, first of all, at the first soil as Jesus explains it in verses 13 through 15. And if there was one word that would capture this kind of hearer, the one word would be the word hardness. Notice what Jesus says about this first soil. Verse 13, and he said to them, "Do you not understand this parable? How then will you understand all parables?" And then he begins, "The sower sows the word." So the seed is God's word. Verse 15, and these are the ones along the path where the word is sown. When they hear, Satan immediately comes and takes away the word that is sown in them. So the birds that come and eat the seed represent or illustrate Satan, who comes and removes God's word that's on top of the walking path. You see, Jesus here is talking about places in fields where people have walked over and over and over again, and their weight has caused the dirt in that area to become hard and packed or compact. And so these seeds that the sower is scattering, some of them fall and land on this walking path where the dirt is hard. It doesn't penetrate. In essence, what we see here is with these hearers, there is no penetration, and then there is a taking. The birds come, right? The birds come and take away the seeds that fall on the walking path. And in Jesus' explanation, he says this is Satan. These birds represent or illustrate what Satan seeks to do. He takes away the seed. Now, in Matthew's account of this parable, Jesus goes on to explain this. He takes away the seed, or in Luke rather, he takes away the seed, Satan does, so that they will not believe and be saved. That's the one thing above all other things that Satan wants to keep from happening. Satan wants to keep people from believing and being saved. That's his purpose. And so that's the principle, that's the picture here. Now, I personally believe that in this context, Jesus here is talking about the scribes, the religious leaders of that day. They would have been those who are being represented, I think, in this first kind of soil. Maybe not just them, but they're prime examples of those who have resisted and resisted and resisted what Jesus had done and said. Even though the Spirit was working through that, they were resisting God's Spirit, and in the process, their hearts were becoming harder and harder and harder, just like a path, just like the dirt on a path where people walk over and over and over again. It gets harder and harder and packed down harder and harder. I think it's Matthew that does, in fact, in this parable, explain here that these people hear, but they don't understand. And the reason they don't understand is because they won't understand. In other words, what can happen, and we again talked about this last week, if a person won't believe, if a person won't understand, over time their heart gets harder and they can't believe. They can't understand. That's the kind of hearer that Jesus is talking about here in this first kind of soil. So the first kind of hearer of God's word is described, first of all, or could be described by the one word hardness that Jesus is illustrating in the first part of this parable. Now look at verses 16 and 17, and let's look at the second kind of soil that Jesus refers to. And I think the best single word for this soil is shallowness. Shallowness. Look at verses 16 and 17. And these, Jesus continues, are the ones sown on rocky ground. He's explaining the second part of the parable. And these are the ones sown on rocky ground. The ones who, when they hear the word, immediately receive it with joy. And they have no root in themselves, but endure for a while. Then, when tribulation or persecution arises on account of the word, immediately they fall away. So here's a seed that's planted, and there's just a thin layer of soil, and underneath the soil, the thin layer of soil, there are rocks. So the seed goes into this shallow soil, but because of the roots, the seed can't grow down. It can't send roots down very far because of the rocks right beneath the surface. And so all of the energy of the seed goes upward rather than some of it going downward as it should be. And so this seed sprouts quickly. And this represents, Jesus says, people who hear and then immediately they respond with great joy. But the problem is they don't have any roots. And so they can't get to the moisture that you need when the heat of the day comes. That's the picture here, the agricultural picture. And so when the heat comes, when the hottest part of the day comes, this sprout that comes really quickly from the seed begins to wither because it doesn't have moisture. It can't get to the moisture that's down below, further below the surface. And it withers. And Jesus says this represents those who believe for a while, or at least profess to believe, and then very quickly they fall away. Here we see no perseverance, and a withering. You see, here's a seed that doesn't endure, a plant, a sprout that dies relatively quickly in the heat of the day. It withers. It withers. Again, this is a picture of someone who, and going back to a message before in this series, some of you will remember, we talked about three groups in relationship to Jesus. We said that there were the foes, and in that passage we looked at the Pharisees and the scribes who decided they were going to join forces with the Herodians and they were going to try to destroy Jesus. They were Jesus' foes. Then in the next section we looked at the crowds who were so excited about Jesus' miracles and they were coming to him for healing. We called them the fans. And then thirdly, we talked about the followers. And we distinguish between fans and followers like this. Fans are those who are very excited at first because of the benefits that come from Jesus, like healing to those who are ill and to those who are sick. But who then may later, when the demands begin, some of those people are just fans. They're not really followers, and so they walk away. I think that's what Jesus is talking about here. People who are excited at first, there's joy because of all of the good things that they hear and they see. Think of the crowds who saw Jesus doing miracles, and they were excited about the miracles, and so they're following Jesus, and they claim to believe in Jesus because of all of the excitement and all of the benefits that they or those around them were receiving. But then over time, when it gets hot, when the heat's turned on, in other words, when there's pressure, when there are demands, when there's persecution for following Jesus faithfully, these people just sort of, they wilt. They fall away. That's what Jesus is talking about here. Jesus is talking about those who will not obey him and will not follow him in the heat of battle. When there's a price to be paid. Shallowness. Now I want you to, as we go through this parable, I want you to think about yourself. And I want you to try to see where you are, maybe, in this parable. So far, ask yourself, hardness? Is that me? Maybe not, probably not, for most of us here today. But what about the second one? Shallowness. Immediate excitement, but no perseverance when it's tough, when there's a price to pay for following Jesus. Do you wilt? Do you fall away? Do you deny Christ? Do you disown him? Do you compromise? Now, every believer, every true believer does those things from time to time, but what we're talking about here is the trajectory of your life. The trend of your life. Is this the trend and the trajectory of your life consistently? When the pressure's on, when it's tough, you wilt. You disobey, you walk away, you compromise. Shallowness, that's the third soil. Then let's look at, or the second, let's look at the third also in verses 18 and 19. I think the one word here would be worldliness. Worldliness. Look at what these verses say, verses 18 and 19. Jesus is explaining the third soil. And others, he says, are the ones sown among thorns. They are those who hear the word, but the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches and the desires for other things enter in and choke the word, and it proves unfruitful. So the thorns represent the world and the cares of this world and coveting the things of this world. He says sometimes plants or seeds fall in soil and there are already thorns there. The roots are there. Maybe they're trimmed back. Maybe they're cut back, the thorns are. But the roots are still there. And as the seed lands there and the seed begins to sprout, these thorns begin to grow and they begin to just wrap around the sprout or the plant that comes from the seed. And literally, they choke this plant. They keep it from, even though it continues for a while, it's choked in the sense that it's not able to ever produce fruit. In other words, here there's no productivity and there is a choking. There's something that's choking out and keeping the productivity, the producing of fruit, from taking place. Let's talk about what these thorns represent. Very quickly, Jesus explains it here. Essentially, he's talking about two things. He's talking about worrying about not having the things of the world that you need. That's one of the things he's talking about here. Worrying about the things of this world and not having the things of this world that you need. And then the other side of what he's talking about here is wanting the things of this world that you desire. In other words, the first one that Jesus is talking about here, the first part of what Jesus is talking about here is worrying because you think you may not have the things that you need of this world. And the second part of what Jesus is talking about here is wanting more of the things of this world, wanting the things you desire. Some people worry about not having what they need. Some people constantly want, even though they have what they need, maybe more than what they need, but they still don't have what they want, all that they want. And so they're preoccupied with both groups. The first group might be those who are not as well off, and they're worried about paying their bills and buying clothing and buying food. They're really concerned from month to month, and that just seems to dominate their thinking most of the time. They don't have what they need, or they're not sure that they're going to have what they need, so that they can pay what they need to pay and have what they have. Have what they need to have. But then there are others who have enough. Maybe more than enough, but they're still longing for more. They're still hoping for and wishing for and dreaming about more. They have what they need, but they don't have what they want. And so there's covetousness. There's the desire for more and more of this world's things. And what Jesus is saying is, listen, those kinds of preoccupations, when we're preoccupied with the things of this world, whether it's having what we need or beyond that, having what we want, if those things are dominant in our thinking, it can choke out the spiritual life, and our spiritual desires and thoughts can be overcome and can be choked out by those kinds of thoughts, by those kinds of things. Remember I said at the beginning of the message, expectations are important. In these first three, you don't have fruit, right? And what's the purpose of planting? The purpose of planting is production. And in these first three soils, there's no production, no fruit. And I think we as God's people, those of us who love Christ and who want to sow the seed and share the gospel, need to be realistic that in many cases, because there are people out there who are hardened and there are people out there who are shallow in terms of their heart and their hearing and their soil, and some who are preoccupied with the things of this world, and the result is not going to be, in many cases, what we desire when we share God's word with others. And so we need to realize that failure will be frequent as we share God's word with those who do not know. But then I want you to look finally at the last of the four soils, and the word here would be fruitfulness. Verse 20 says, "But those that were sown on the good soil are the ones who heard the word and accepted it and bear fruit 30-fold and 60-fold and 100-fold." Again, I mentioned this earlier, this is an enormous harvest. Sevenfold was considered a really good harvest, a large harvest at this time. Jesus here goes way beyond that. Not seven, but way beyond that. 30, 60, and 100-fold. And so this should cause us to be optimistic as we share this word of God because of the power that's in God's word. And by the way, one of the lessons from this for us as believers, as a church, as we share the word is, listen, faithfulness is sowing the seed, scattering the seed, and leaving the results to God. Sometimes we measure our faithfulness by our success. We confuse those two things. But the truth is, that's something that's beyond us. We continue to share the word of God. We continue to share the truth with those who don't believe. And many times, those soils are not going to produce what we desire and what we hope for. But sometimes, because it's God's word that we share, and there's power in God's word, there will be an abundant ingathering of people who come to believe and trust in Christ as their Savior. Maybe some of you were thinking this morning, okay, preacher, which ones of these are real Christians? I don't know. Not absolutely, at least. But I can tell you what I think. I think only the fourth one, quite honestly, is a true Christian. Again, you could argue with me on that, and some people think differently than that. But I guess I feel pretty confident saying this. The only one of these four kinds of hearers that can have assurance of their salvation is those who are like the fourth soil. You see, if you're sitting here this morning thinking, can you be number two and still go to heaven? Can you be number three and still go to heaven? If you're asking that question because you think you are one of those and you're wanting to stay there, then that's probably not a good sign in terms of where you are, really where you are before God. What I'm saying to you is the only way, and according to scriptures, the way that we know and can have assurance about salvation is by our fruit. Our fruit, the way our lives are transformed by our professed faith, is the evidence, is the only evidence, really, for assurance. And so what is true saving belief? I think based on this parable, it's this. Saving belief is seen when faith is understood, and that wasn't the case in the first soil. It wasn't understood, right? When it's enduring, and that wasn't the case with the second soil, and when it is productive. That was not the case with the third soil. That's how we can see. That's how you can have assurance of salvation. And so here's my challenge to you this morning. Wherever you are, wherever you might place yourself, you might say, I'm not number one, I'm not number four, I'm somewhere in between. Wherever you'd place yourself this morning, if you sincerely desire to bear fruit, you sincerely desire to persevere and be faithful to Jesus Christ when the heat is on, when it's tough to do so. If you sincerely desire to develop roots and to grow down and to grow deep in your relationship with Christ, then I think there's good reason to believe that God has already begun a good work in you or is beginning a good work in you. And so I'm asking you this morning to say, if you can, from the bottom of your heart, God, I want that. I want to understand, not just here, when I come to a service like this or another place where I hear God's word, I want to understand. I want to understand. And I want to endure. I want to persevere in obedience to you, becoming more and more obedient to your will, even when it's very hard, even when it's not easy. And God, I want to be productive. I want the fruit of the Spirit to be seen and shown in my life. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Pray that this morning from your heart if you can. And if you do, I think there's very good reason to believe that God has brought you to Himself or is in the process as you continue to pray that way. I think He will bring you to Himself. Let's bow and let's pray. Father, I ask you this morning, as we thought about different kinds of hearers, and Father, as we've this morning been hearing your word, I pray that we would think about ourselves, and I pray for people this morning. I pray that many this morning would be able to sincerely pray, God, I want to not just hear your word, but I want to understand it. And God, I want to persevere because I want to grow deep roots in my relationship with you, in my faith. And God, I want to bear fruit. I want more and more of the fruit of the Spirit to be evidenced in my life. Father, lead us in these moments as we continue to reflect on your word and as we sing and respond to your word this morning, as we give, some of us this morning, to support your work of taking this seed to the ends of the earth, scattering it to the ends of the earth, so that many might believe, so that we might see a great harvest of people worshiping you and loving you, that we could be a part of through our giving. Lord, would you lead us now and speak in Jesus' name. Amen.